Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are The Morning Shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Dylan is hanging out behind the glass, and this hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We do have the wake-up call coming up momentarily. Call in. Let us know who you think is going to storm the field this season. For what fan base is most likely to storm the field? 404-726-0929. Coming up at 8:20, we do have Eric McLean joining us. Remember when I was asking you guys about tailgates? I wonder if he knows about the $2 tradition at Clemson.
That's a good question.
I'm sure he does. Yeah. I mean, he's got to. There's no way that he can't.
He probably knows of a lot of really cool traditions because of his job. I mean, he's covered a lot of those schools.
And oh, yeah.
He's been around to a lot of them, so I'm sure there's some pretty cool ones out there.
Yeah.
I mean, he played there, so he played at Clemson, so he has to know about it. He has to know about their own. He has to, so yeah.
Well, we'll ask him about it, potentially. We'll ask him about that. And I do want to talk about this SEC superlative question we've got going on with which fan base is most likely to storm the field. Who was it that got in trouble last year for planting the flag? Was that Ohio State?
It was Michigan at Ohio State. They'd gotten a fist fight, essentially.
Right.
They got pepper sprayed.
Yeah, that was a debacle.
Michigan's been in the middle of some crazy stuff over the years. Remember when they got in a fight in the tunnel?
Michigan is a program that is basically, you know, that whole Michigan man stuff's a long ways ago.
Sheesh.
They've run amok, so to speak.
I got to get back to the roots there.
Who would you guys say is most likely to storm the field? What fan base?
All right, so I went with this. Who's most likely to storm the field first, because I think there's a bunch of them you could say. All right, but it's an intriguing conversation. You have to pick teams that are going to be playing at home. The other part of this, and I don't know if Allie realizes this, but there is certain fan bases that don't storm the field. So,
well, there's certain fan bases you don't storm the field when your team wins a big game. It's expected.
Well, that's one way to put it. And the two are Florida and Alabama. They've never stormed the field in Gainesville or in Tuscaloosa. So mm-hmm. It's almost like you cross those off the list and, you know, you move on from there.
And I don't see Georgia storming the field these days.
I don't either.
Like
you're not going to see Georgia get out there and be like, yay.
Texas is not shouldn't be storming the field. There's nobody on Texas' schedule at home that they should storm the field after beating this year.
This year for sure. I would have said they might have done it last year if they beat Georgia.
But this year, yeah.
You want to go first or you want me to? I've got two of them. I've got a backup.
I think one of your answers on the earlier question is Auburn. I think Auburn is a good one.
Yeah.
That there's a good chance. Because if they beat Alabama, at home, they storm the field, it feels like, every year, no matter what.
Yeah.
I mean, just because of the how big of a game that actually is. So I've got that one. I mean, of teams that could actually, you know, I mean, this one might be funny. If Arkansas was able to beat Notre Dame at home, because they play Notre Dame here.
Yeah.
I mean, at Arkansas, I could see them storming the field.
Yeah, that's a good one for sure. I went with who's going to do it first, because it'd be multiple. I went with, how about this one? Ole Miss plays LSU on September 27th. We've seen Ole Miss storm the field every time they've beat, like, a top 15 team.
Yeah, but LSU will have a loss already by that point.
Because they're gonna. That's not. You think that's gonna stop Ole Miss from storming the field? Absolutely.
Well, I would hope that they think they stormed the field and they beat Georgia, which was different. I would hope that they think, you know, a potentially two loss.
They stormed
LSU
the field 2 years ago when they beat LSU, and I don't even know if LSU was in the top 10 at that point.
I was there when they took the goalpost down when they beat Alabama back in 14
Warranted.
When Alabama was number one. Yeah, I remember being at the Grove afterwards, post game, and a post goes by, literally one of the big posts. I'm like,
so crazy.
I'm like, oh, there goes part of the field goal post.
I'll also say, and I know we're going to get the wake-up call here in 1 second. You guys have thoughts on any of these SEC teams we've talked about today? Or if you got an upset of the year or, you know, some team that's going to storm the field, we're not thinking of. But I will say the other one, and this is going to be a tough pill to swallow for me. Hmm. Bama against Missouri on October 11th would be a game that if Mizzou wins, that field is getting stormed. And the only reason I even mention to my Bama brethren out there, the only reason I even bring it up is because Bama and Kalen DeBoer have to prove to me that they can win on the road. They were abysmal at times last year on the road. And I'm talking about the loss to Oklahoma, which was the worst loss points-wise in over two decades for Alabama. You lost to Vanderbilt on the road. Like, it just was absolutely brutal when you were playing away from home. They've got to prove to me they can get it done. And we'll see what happens. Mizzou, I don't know how great they'll be, but if they were able to pull that off, which I've seen crazier, they were able to pull that off on October 11th, that field in Como is getting torn down. I got news for you. So that's kind of where I sit on it. That's my two. All right, like I said, if you guys want to weigh in on the wake-up call, 404-726-0929. We've got a lot of SEC talk. What games are you paying attention to this weekend? Or maybe you want to give the Ramblin' Wreck from Georgia Tech a little shout-out before their game against Colorado tonight. Let's hit this thing. I'm still kind of cracking up about our conversation about the Bachelorette's contestants earlier today. And the reason I've been cracking up the entire show is not who we named in the actual categories. We had gimmick guy, hunk, drunk, villain, influencer, and the total package in terms of SEC coaches. I'm cracking up because you came up with these. Mm-hmm. Is this like a well-known thing?
Yeah, those are well-known.
Those are like all well-known things? Or you were like, here's the categories I've got that I've noticed watching this show.
Those are categories pretty much on every dating show that I've noticed.
Right.
I do have one that we didn't do.
Okay.
Let me throw it at you.
Okay.
The bro who only talks in sports metaphors. Like, this journey is the Super Bowl of love, and I'm just here to leave it all on the field.
Well, you know that guy over there is good looking, but iron sharpens iron. So.
That'd be Billy Napier, without a doubt. That would be Billy Napier. I think Billy Napier, I could also see Venables and Mike Elko doing that too.
Mike Elko's, yeah, that's actually a really good call. Mike Elko, I can see. He's kind of all ball, isn't he? Like, he's just one of those guys that kind of eats, sleeps, and breathes football at this
point.
Well,
and Napier is kind of the all shucks guy. You know, he's from Georgia. He's from Chatsworth, Georgia,
yeah,
in that area. And I can see him being, oh, shucks, you know, we just got to go out there and give it 110%. And, you know, in practice every day, we got to go by that mentality that iron sharpens iron. And
are you talking about on the Bachelorette, or are you just talking about
just in general? In general.
I can see him in his confessional, you know, hey, you got a rose this week, but you were one of the last. Yeah, we just got to go back to the drawing board, get a game plan together moving forward,
yeah,
and, you know, make sure that she's really happy on the next date night. And when we get our opportunities, you know, pressure is a privilege.
We really got to figure out a way to showcase our talent. And why we're, you know, one of the best that's in this competition. That's Billy Napier to a T could do all of that. Have you ever heard him talk?
I love that, dude. I love that so much. Who was it that had the scrimmage not long ago? Maybe it was Hugh Freeze that was like, they did a scrimmage and they were like, how's the scrimmage go? He was like, oh, it was really good if you want to be a 7-win football team. I can't remember who that was. It was one of the SEC coaches. Absolutely hilarious, but I can see that happen. All right, we got to go to the phone line. 404-726-0929 if you guys got thoughts today. Atlanta Falcons still have over a week till kickoff, but a lot of conversation yesterday about the Jordan Fuller, Braylon Trice roster stuff and the right tackle. So let's go out there. Hey, Dylan, let's start with Ron over in Chamblee. Ron, what's going on this morning, buddy?
Hey, Mike's Mafia in the building, baby.
That's what I like to hear. Let's start Friday off right, my friend.
Oh, man, hey, listen, I'm at work this morning, man. Shout out to the Chamblee Police Department. I'm a detective over there. But listen, Ramblin' Wreck from Georgia Tech all day, baby.
Yeah, I hear you, man. Hopefully they can get it done tonight. And thank you for your service, Ron. Appreciate that, man.
Absolutely, brother.
Yeah, thanks for the phone call. Man, look, short, concise, perfect phone call from Ron from Chamblee. And also, you know, a service worker right there, just keeping us all safe at all hours of the day. So, yeah, I mean, I like we talked about earlier, guys, I'm going to be glued to Georgia Tech tonight. There's no doubt about it. I'll have Auburn and Baylor on that side TV. It'll be on mute. And Brent Key and company. Did you guys catch Brent Key yesterday on Dukes and Bell? Brent Key was talking about how him and Deion played phone tag for a while.
Oh, no, I didn't hear this.
And he was like, you know, he was like, Deion wanted to reach out to me, and then I didn't recognize the number, and then I called him back, and he didn't respond to my text message or whatever it was. And then we went through this entire ordeal where we didn't know each other's numbers. And then finally, we had somebody that was like a middleman that we've both worked with that was like, hey, you guys, here's each other's numbers. And Brent said he's like in the middle of a meeting and gets a FaceTime from Deion.
Oh, wow.
And the only thing I could think of was, I'm just not a big FaceTimer. Like, you know what I mean? If you guys ever want to catch up with me years down the road, please don't FaceTime me. I'm probably not in a position. I'm probably all chin and neck at that point.
It is interesting because I feel like we've waited for that technology for so long, and now that it's here, I don't want it.
Yeah. it's my kids don't even know what to do when I'm on the phone.
Yeah.
My kids are like, I'm on the phone with my parents or like my wife or something, and my kids are like, I can't see them. And I'm like, dude, I know it's a phone call. You put it up to your ear. Like, what are we doing right now?
That's amazing.
I know,
where
dude.
We're at.
Crazy.
We FaceTime my buddy. We were finishing up 9 last night, and You know, we had a few. We FaceTimed because Carter was out, my normal partner. So I had a, my other buddy, and we FaceTimed him, and he was on vacation with some friends, and he quickly hung up on us.
Yeah.
Right, quickly.
Know. Shout out for him for answering.
We were like, hey, who's that? Who's in the background there? Like, we start calling out people like by description. He's like, all right, well, I'm done. Click.
Hey, let's try to get one more in before we go to break, Dylan. Let's go over to our buddy Dan over in Decatur. Dan, I hope you're having a great Friday, buddy.
Me. Let's go. Yes, I really took some boosters off yesterday, didn't I?
I love it, man.
Yeah, I took them off yesterday. I got an extra line of protection on my phone today for them Texas folks, man. They hating on me, but it's all good. Hey, man, I'm in front of the TV watching my boy pizza and chicken wings. If it ain't that, I'm going to crank my grill up early in the morning. Bo, if I do that, I need some of that W sauce, brother.
Hey, man.
I'm going to be honest with you. Whoever Vanderbilt beats, they're going to storm the field. It's a miracle. I'm just going to take Vanderbilt. I'm being funny. I'm being facetious. But, dude, come on. Whoever they beat, that's who's going to storm the field, man.
Yeah.
Y'all have a great weekend, man. Y'all have a great Friday. Morning Show family, I love y'all. I appreciate y'all, man.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate you, too. I think that's a fair assumption. Whoever goes down at home at Vanderbilt. And have you seen Vanderbilt Stadium this year?
Well, they finally finished it?
They finally finished it. Looks insanely good. Like, it actually looks like an SEC stadium. It's not at the bottom of the list anymore. I played there in 2007, and it was like, I felt like I was playing back in high school. It was awful. So shout out to them for getting that thing in peace. But remember, was it last year or 2 years ago, Georgia played there, and they were in a tent locker room?
Yeah, it was 2 years ago. The cool thing about Vanderbilt, for one, it's a really good spot for the opposing team to go watch a game because it's Nashville. Mm-hmm. And so you just go downtown Nashville. But if you're ever in Nashville when they have a home game, you'll just be sitting there and all of a sudden there'll be an influx of random, like, Florida fans or Alabama fans where you're like, oh, the game's over. And they just fill up, what's the name of that street down there?
Broadway,
yeah, and
up and down Broadway.
You're just like, man, what's all this? What's all this random collegiate colors coming from? It's pretty cool. I mean, I've been there. It's a cool place to watch a game, but it is kind of. We used to be kind of crappy.
It looks like it's going to be a cool stadium this year. I'm happy for them.
Well, continue this conversation. Tell us who you think is going to storm the field this season on Twitter or X at 929 Morning Shift. And coming up, we've got college football analyst for the ACC Network, ESPN, and former Clemson football captain Eric McLean will join us next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the
Odyssey app.